It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So it's all to play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast. And due to popular demand, I've decided to put on an Aston Villa jersey. Now, I know it's the third jersey, and I know we don't have the best look with the third jersey, but bear with me on this one. It's a bit of reverse psychology, okay? It's a bit of an old, try and lull them into a false sense of security by putting on the horribly unlucky third jersey Aston Villa have. Not just this one, every third jersey for quite a while, bar the green one we had when we stayed up. Third jersey seemed to be unlucky, so I'm doing the old switcheroo, the reverse ferret, whatever you want to call it. I'm trying to will this into existence today, because you know what? I don't think anything I will do will bring us any worse luck than we've had at certain times over the past 5 to 10 years. So I said, hey, might as well put all superstition out the window and try and make something happen. So I am wearing the third jersey today. And hopefully this will become some sort of a ritual. But thank you, everybody, for popping in. This is going to be a more abridged little session today. We will obviously look at the team sheets as they are announced. I am here on my own, but it will be a small bit more abridged because I do have somewhere to go shortly after this. But we will get everything we need to do and get all your reaction. And I'm going to be heavily relying on your comments. So please, 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 pop your comments into the comment section here. And I will try and get to as many of them as possible. I haven't looked at them just yet, but we do have 7 minutes to kill before the team sheet is announced Or is the team sheet announced now? Sorry, the team sheet is... No, sorry, it's 10 minutes until the team sheet is announced. That somebody was sending me a text message to say the team sheet was out, but it's just to say asking me, was the team sheet tantrum on? So I will be going through your comments in a moment. I suppose I'll give my soliloquy on what I think about this firstly. That, look, this is one of those games that could be gravy on the top or it could be absolutely god-off pudding. I don't know which way this is going to go. I know that there's bound to be endless pessimism, which is absolutely fine. That is not a criticism on anybody who thinks that Chelsea are going to have the hex over us today, because look, historically they absolutely have. I know in our preview show and when I was on the Villa View, I did try and stoke some optimism by saying that potentially Aston Villa could do an Aston Villa special and go 2 goals up and then somehow end up drawing 2-2 with only 10 minutes to go in the game, or even worse, losing 3-2 like we did to Man City. And that is obviously wishful thinking. I have nothing to base that on. But look, as I say, it's like something that Aston Villa would do. And we do tend to show up in these big games against big teams and put on some sort of a backs to the wall kind of performance. So I suppose that's really what I'm kind of hoping to see today. Maybe some sort of a performance, some sort of green shoots of recovery, because as we've mentioned time and time again over the last week, and as been mentioned by John Percy and has been mentioned in countless amount of pieces of writing over the last 48 hours, that the owners are in town. And you know, when the owners are in town, you don't want to go out there and completely let it all trickle down your leg. You know, you want to have some sort of a semblance of coherency on the field. You want to go and show that you're not a shrinking violet, albeit. And I know the comment was taken out of context. I just don't know what the full context of the comment was when Steven Gerrard said that, yes, you know, you go to the likes of Brighton and you go to the likes of Chelsea and Chelsea should be wiping the floor with us. There was a lot of backlash in that comment. It did sound silly in the moment. And to me, it's like, realistically speaking, everybody here knows my thoughts. And when a microphone is put in front of Steven Gerrard, sometimes I think you just don't need to say as much as he does. And I've said that quite often, that he gets himself into these holes and he's got the world's biggest shovel at times and he just keeps on digging. And I don't think there was any need for that comment, even if it was contextual and the line before, the line after it came afterwards. When you're in a situation that you're in at the moment, you shouldn't really be making comments like that. But look, as I say, this is not a critique on that. We will have lots of time to critique things like that. This is more so about the team today and the play. So we're going to kind of park the manager for the moment. Team sheet tantrums are for the team and looking forward to the game. So with that in mind, let's have a little look at some of your comments here. Richard says, this might sound weird, but looking forward to a very solid defensive display. I'm not expecting a win. A draw would be nice, but I'm thinking Chelsea will get a goal or two in the second half. Right, really random review says, come on, Villa, I want something today, please. Karma Baby says, I'm going to need at least a six-pack of Bex to get me through this one, lads. I'd go for something stronger than Bex, to be honest with you, if I was you. But that's just me. Junior Bennett says, I'm sure we'll get a performance, but can we score? That is the question on everybody's lips. Can we score against anyone? Is kind of the question. And obviously coming up against a formidable outlet like Chelsea, albeit that they're going to be missing Wesley Fofana, they're going to be missing Reece James, and N'Golo Kante is ruled out as well today. Three very pivotal and big names in their defence, albeit Fofana hasn't really shown much considering his injury history since he's joined Chelsea. But still, they do have the crux of a very, very, very good nucleus of defenders there. Experienced defenders with lots of international caps and won lots and lots and lots of trophies. And that leadership that they have in defence is going to be pivotal for them. And it's something that we lack throughout our whole team. Yet they can bring guys like Azpilicueta, they can bring guys like Jorginho, they can bring guys even like Loftus-Cheek can come in there and he won't let the side down if he was to come in and play in that hybrid 6-8 role in there. We may even see Conor Gallagher in there, who knows? And as we know, Steven Gerrard does have a punch on for Conor Gallagher, and I think a lot of Villa fans would have liked to see him in claret and blue today as opposed to being in the royal blue of Chelsea. Where else are we? I'm just going to come down through this. Brett Riverboat says something here as well that I think has been reiterated, that we do play better against teams that have the ball more. And we absolutely do, to a point. So a lot of times we try and filter them out wide to cross the ball in because we think that other teams can't cross are like us and that they're rubbish at crossing the ball. But what we need to really do in this instance is, if we are going to do that, and it's where we've broken down in the past, is we filter people out wide, and then our midfield then get caught going wide as well to help our fullbacks, which, yes, in theory, that's the right thing to do. But how many times have we seen people steal a march on that run through the middle of our defence? If we are going to do that, being solid in the middle of midfield as well to stop any runners through, the likes of the Mason Mounts, who I would imagine will play today, the likes of the diagonal runs from Sterling, if it's on the right-hand side, let's say Pulisic is over there and he's attacking from that side, or maybe a Kai Havertz is through in the middle or something, I don't know. We call it Pulisic is attacking from the right and he's crossing that ball in. We shut down completely in midfield to diagonal runs. And what does Sterling make his money off is diagonal runs and runs to get in behind defenders or running directly at defenders. So it's just little things like that we need to be so, so, so cognizant of with this team, because this team is multidirectional in their attack. We always say Aston Villa are singular directional in their attack. We can only attack in straight lines and we can never attack through the middle, or we find it difficult to attack through the middle. That's why we're so predictable. Teams like Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City. I suppose Man City are a different kettle of fish because they're just so good at attacking in straight lines as well. But those teams are multidirectional in their attacks. You know, they've got four or five different runners off the ball, and Aston Villa have to pull too many people behind the ball to be able to commit that in forward positions. And if we do, we get caught in the break. So we haven't learned how to play multidirectional in our attack yet. And that is to be honest with you, that's been going on for 2 years. So that's something that needs to be fixed ASAP if we are to propel our way up the league. Teams will be out in a moment. Nathan Cohen, I want to say thank you very much for your super chat. It means an awful lot, and I really appreciate that. We've taken Watkins. Nathan has taken Watkins out of his fantasy league draft team, so expect a hat trick now. I've taken him out of my team, put him on the bench as well. So if anything, as I say, we're really going the reverse psychology route on this, and if Watkins scores a hat trick, I'll be way happier. I'm rooted. I am absolutely stapled to the bottom of my fantasy draft league at the moment. So I badly need some points. So if Ollie Watkins does score a hat-trick, I will have my head in my hands, because I think everybody else on my team will play today. I would imagine, I'm thinking that the team is out without having the wonderful Patrick Kelly here. I am thinking that the team is out. Chris Dolan all over my timeline. Happy birthday to Chris Dolan, but it's not the Chris Dolan tantrum yet. I'm sure we might have one after the game, but the teams are out, and we know what that means. Block your ears if you're of a squeamish disposition. There is time for a. Apologies there. I'm just gonna Nathan Muchnaz. I love your comment and I really appreciate it. And what's going on here? Turn off my ticker as well. Let's share my screen here with the. The team list. So we have our team, as I mentioned, and it is Martinez, Cash, Konsa, Mings, and Young. No surprises there. McGinn, Douglas Luiz, Jacob Ramsey, Bailey, Ings, and Watkins start. Ings and Watkins start together. So there's peace in the valleys between myself and Paddy. Both of us are happy in this one.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What is going on? Sorry, guys. There's things shouting at me here. I'm hearing reverb in my headphones and everything. I don't know if you could hear that. But Ings and Watkins start together. Substitutes are Olsen, Sanson, Buendia, Chambers, Nakamba, Bednarek, Coutinho, Dendonker, and Lamar Bogard makes the match day squad again. I know it's very inconsequential. He's unlikely to see time today, but I like the fact that they're giving him time on the bench. Just like they did with young Tim for quite a lot of time last season, it gets him involved in preparation. And I think a lot of young players fail because they don't know how to prepare on a match day. They don't know how to get the nerves out. I like the fact that he's in there. Plus the fact that there aren't that many other players that we have available to us at this moment in time with injuries. But this team is interesting. It's interesting because to me, it absolutely smacks of Watkins going back out wide. It's something that we've called for, not us as a podcast, obviously. We've said it in a throwaway comment. It's not something we've been bullish about, but it's something I think the fan base has called for from time to time. It's very, very interesting that Coutinho has been dropped in this game. Work rate is going to be needed here, specifically in the forward positions. We're going to need pace. And as much and maligned as Ollie Watkins is in one-on-one positions, like we talk about from time to time, he does have a blast of pace. He does get in behind defenders. He can be tricky, and he's going back to a familiar hunting ground on the wing again. Once again, you have to question the manager here. Does he actually have any idea about what his best first 11 is when it comes to the front three? This is a question that John Percy asked in the Telegraph. This is a question I know a lot of Villa fans have and need to have answered. Once again, we see a different front three. If it works, it works. I couldn't care less if it works, but it needs to start working consistently, because we can't have this consistent ever changing merry-go-round of players trying to hope that something sticks. And that phrase of hoping for a moment of magic is sticking in everybody's craw at the moment. Let's hope we do get the moment of magic here, to paraphrase Steven Gerrard. But let's hope that we're building something consistent, something coherent, and something long-lasting with regards to this. Because otherwise, if we're going to continue to shuffle players in and out, well, then we're going to go back to square one very quickly. And it's bamboozling our striking intent, because obviously we're not scoring goals. Couple of comments from you there, guys. There. Whoa, where are my comments gone to? Here we are. So Danielle asks, 4-3-3. I would imagine it is the same. It's 4-3-3 with the two inverted wingers, and Bailey and Watkins are going to play those roles today. Probably a bit wider than normal to try and get our counter-attack going. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. Look, it's not ideal, because once again, the question has to be asked, does he know what his front three are? And I've asked that question already. But I'm at the stage whereby what was happening previously wasn't working. So if this works, I'll give anyone a thumbs up, regardless of who they are in the dugout. Nathan Cohen asks, is it a diamond? Once again, my favorite phrase, I think, from Steven Gerrard's team sheets are, we'll know after the first 15 minutes what the hell it is. Because sometimes, as I say, it's impossible to know what positions players are going to be in. Are players going to be shoehorned? How wide are Bailey and Watkins going to play? That's going to be really interesting. But Watkins, I would imagine, is going to play on that left-hand side. And Watkins is going to be back to help out Young and off a lot, because say what you like, Watkins' engine is absolutely unflappable. His effort, his endeavor, I'm gonna liken his effort and his endeavor to somebody. I do not want you to castigate this, that I'm saying that he has the same skill level as him. And if anybody else thinks that he's the same skill level as this player, it's just not true. But he's got that same level of endeavor and effort of former Irish player Stephen Hunt. Yes, I know that most mediocre player, Stephen Hunt. But say what you like about him, he had an engine and he'd run forever, and he always got up and down the wing, and he did the job that managers asked him. And Watkins can do that. Now, will he be able to do it efficiently on the wing? Only time is going to tell from here on out. If he's not going to be, if we have him in there for endeavour and effort, and he's not going to be the best at finishing one-on-ones, and Danny Ings is better at that, like Paddy has alluded to previously, and I don't disagree with Paddy in that point. I really don't. But if we're going to have that mentality that we need a better finisher and Ings is going to be that guy, well, we don't want to lose out in that effort and that endeavor and that ability to track back and that ability to keep teams honest by being able to plough past the man with the ball at your feet and run at a defense or run across a center half, because Watkins can do that. So why not put him out there? Because we're just not getting it from Coutinho. And I'll be honest, guys, we're not getting it from Buendia either. Yes, Buendia is good in fits and starts, but for a game like this today, being rigid is going to be paramount, regardless of how much of the ball that we have, because they can break from any point. And that might be defeatist of me, but I think it's just pragmatic to have that type of mentality as well. Conal says 4-2-3-1. Oh, I never clicked on it. 4-2-3-1. I'd be surprised, but wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility if it was 4-2-3-1. I just don't see Jacob Ramsey playing as that top of the mid man in that three behind the striker. I don't see, but once again, I could be 1,000,000% wrong. Nothing would surprise me with regards to that. I just think it's going to be much of the same formation with three in midfield. But look, as I say, that could be the case. Cameron Baby says they really wanted to see Dendonker and Nakamba or both start. Playing Louise as a six today makes absolutely no sense. No, our midfield, if we go with three up top, if we go with the two wingers and the striker, we're playing a flat midfield three. Since Boubacar Kamara has gone out, I did a bit of work in it. And this was for a podcast that was supposed to come in about 3 weeks' time when the World Cup, and I will still do it. But since Boubacar Kamara has been out, we've played more of a flat midfield three in a lot of transitions. Yes, Douglas Luiz does move back to take the ball from the back two, but you're going to have somebody like that in a midfield three. Our midfield has been a flat midfield three, like we played for a lot of periods last season, specifically in the stretch as we went back down the stretch, should I say, towards the end of the season. Our midfield was an awful lot flatter. But I'm kind of with you as well. I can definitely see Dendonker coming on. I might, you know, we have players on the bench to come on and be defensive, but playing at home, I think starting that midfield was always on the cards. Whether I agree with it or not, I don't fully know what I agree with and don't agree with regards to that just at this moment in time. Where else are we? Thoughts in the camber being overlooked. Yeah, thoughts in the camber. Yeah, I went with that. Tuan, good to see you, Tuan, all the way from Jamaica. What do you think the formation is today? As I said, I think it's going to be two wide players and one striker up front with the flat three in midfield, and our back four then won't get as far forward as we have seen them previously. Now, I would expect Matty Cash to still be that overlap on the right-hand side and Ashley Young to get into the opposition half. But as I say, you know, the days of the Luca Dean being hugging the end line, I don't think we're going to see that today, because that would be digging our own grave for sure, I think, with regards to that. Let's see if we can find the Chelsea team. Chelsea FC. Let's see who Chelsea have put out. Kepa and goals. Delighted I didn't start Mendy in my fantasy team. So, delighted. Kepa's and goals. Shalaba, Thiago Silva, Cucurella. So, they're going for three at the back. Loftus-Cheek going to play in that right wing-back role, it looks like. Chilwell on the left wing-back role. Kovacic and Mount, it looks like. With Havertz, Aubameyang and Sterling. Yeah. Yeah, I think that looks about right. Kovacic and Mount with Havertz, Aubameyang and Sterling. Yeah, that to me looks about right. They do play. Loftus-Cheek has played in that right wing back role. Now it could be a back four. I'm just not 100% sure the way that it's laid out there that it will be a back four. But they have the option to go back five back three, should I say, if needs be. They're on the bench. They have Mendy, Azpilicueta, Koulibaly, Chuck Moeka, Gallagher, Jorginho, Zakaria. Oh, I forgot to even sign Zakaria. Jeez, an embarrassment of riches, like on the bench. Pulisic and Broga on the bench, Broja on the bench as well. That's a big team for them. That's a big team for them. I would have expected Jorginho to start, but it looks like the Potter doesn't really fancy him from the start. I would have expected Koulibaly to start as well instead of Shalaba, but he's given Shalaba the start here. And I would have expected Azpilicueta, if they were to go at a back four, I would have expected Azpilicueta to come in at right back. But that's what makes me think that they're going with a back five, as opposed to a back four, or sorry, a back three, whatever you want to call it. A back three with Loftus-Cheek out on the right-hand side, because, as I say, it was Dan Bardell that showed me information about how often he plays out there as well, and that he has played as that kind of wing-back. I would never have thought it previously. But once again, could be wrong. It could be Loftus-Cheek and Kovacic with Mount, Havertz and Sterling in behind Aubameyang as well. That's very much as easy with Cucurella on the right-hand side, Chilwell on the left-hand side, and Chalaba and Thiago Silva anchoring down the defence as well. That's the way they could set up, but they do have massive amounts of fluidity there with the players that they have on the field. Interesting team, very, very interesting team, and they're not taking us lying down, which is nice to have that respect shown to us, but not nice to see that strike force of Havertz, Sterling, Aubameyang and Mason Mount potentially up there. All fantastic strikers. All of them would waltz into our team. And that is, that's really where we are at the moment with regards to the likes of Chelsea. You know, they are that far ahead of us. And I don't think it's sacrilege to say that. You know, the two guys they have on the bench there, Pulisic and Broja, will arguably start in our team as well. Well, Pulisic, I think, would start instead of Watkins on that wing. And Broja would arguably start as well. So, that, I suppose, in the attacking intent, that's where we are. Chelsea are a powerhouse in that aspect. We've got a lot of work to do off the field, but more so to do on the field with the players that we have if we are going to live up to expectations, I suppose, and beat the likes of Chelsea today. Sorry for being pessimistic on that one, guys. Anyway, any comments in here? So, Seb Fisher asks, would a backs to the wall, 0-0, be progress? I don't know. I think it would be progress in a way. But like, we're into the kind of land of five draws in a row, or five games unbeaten, but should we really be happy with that kind of territory? We should be happy with the result in a silo, but it still doesn't change anything from the results we had previously. We've shown we can put our backs to the wall in very certain instances, but we've shown no impetus in striking. So, like, if we came out of this game with one shot on goal and backs to the wall and a nil-all draw, it could be spun as a whole, oh, we're turning the corner, we're rounding the bend, we're on the way up, but we're still not scoring goals. And no matter what we do, nil-all draws will not keep us safe. Even if they are, like, if we draw all the rest of the games we have this season, we'd be still in a relegation battle. And I think that's where the issue comes, scoring goals. If you can score goals, you always have a puncher's chance. We can't always be the ones defending. So it would definitely be a very nuanced discussion that we would have afterwards anyway, that's for sure. I could see the fan base being split on a nil-all draw. It's dependent on, like, if we went the whole game without having a shot. I think that there would still be apathy, and probably rightly so as well. We need to start showing something in an attacking sense. We really, really do. Right, guys, very, 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 very quickly, start popping in your results, because I need to head off. Start popping in your results there. I'm going to go, yeah, sure, look, I'm going to still go. I said 2-2. I can't really just turn around and say that that won't be the case. We'll hit them on the break. Watkins will get the first one, and then Jacob Ramsey will score just before halftime, and then we'll go into halftime. The pundits will be all about us. Steven Gerrard has got these guys back, and it's just what we need in front of the owners. And then bang, 70 minute comes, and they bring on Pulisic, they bring on Jorginho, they bring on Gallagher, they bring on Broja, and then all of a sudden we end up drawing 2-2 or losing 3-2. I'm going to stick with it because why not? I have nothing to lose. So here we go, guys. I'm not going to get through all of these, but thanks so much to everybody for putting it in. Lionel says 2-0 to Chelsea. Gordock says 2-2. Junior Bennett says 2-1 to Villa. Chris Chubb says 2-0 Villa. 3-1 to Chelsea, says Tommy Boy. 1-0 to Villa, says Sweet Karma. I love it. 2-0 Chelsea, I'm afraid, says Arthur. 3-0 to Chelsea, says Jason. 3-1 to Jason, says James Brown. Look like we could rely on a Dougie goal direct from a corner. Yeah, maybe that as well. Cat Cannon says 3-0 Chelsea. 4-0 Chelsea, says Steve B. 1-0 Chelsea, says Shane. 2-1 says Phil McManus. 1-1 says Danny H. Sigurdur John Borg Vinson. Oh, I hope I didn't butcher that. Says 7-2 to Villa. We'd love it. Brendan Townsend says a 1-0 fluky win. I'd love that too. 4-0 Chelsea, says Rachel. 4-0 says Patrick Hopkinson. Sadly, Villa won, Chelsea 3. And Tuan says, for some reason, I'm optimistic about this game. Maybe it's after the City game, but even if we lose it, it won't be a hammering. I'm saying 2-1 Villa, worst case a draw. Excellent. 3-1 says Rex Cole. 3-1 to Chelsea, says David. 4-1 Chelsea, says Adrian. And that's it, guys. I'm going to have to call it a day at that. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. Thank you so much to everybody for listening. Please give this a thumbs up if you do like it. If you know that there's a friend of yours that you think might like these podcasts, please put them our way. We'd love to get our subscriber count as close to 4K as we possibly can. We're nearly at 5K on Twitter as well. If you guys don't subscribe to the podcast as it is, please do. Costs you nothing. And if you aren't following us on Twitter, we'd absolutely love to have you follow us there as well for a bit of discourse and a bit of conversation. Enjoy the game. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And until next time, actually, we will be back with a post game. It'll be much later tonight, though, unfortunately, because I won't be here. It'll be much later. It'll be in around the 9:30 mark. But we may see you there again. Keep an eye on Twitter. Enjoy the game and up the Villa.
Social Podcast Network.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.